coming up on 3 and Out.
Pocket goes Von Bell. Miller's got him, and the ball is free.
The Broncos defense does it again, but now Von Miller will be without his sidekick for a while.
You know, Shaq Chain and Dakota, all those guys are great rushers. And it was just time for those guys to play a little bit more.
On offense, the middle of the field wasn't a problem. Finding the end zone, though...
It's encouraging that we moved the ball so well, but I need to finish some of those drives.
And now the Broncos hit the road for the first time this season to face the Bengals.
We thrive on that road. We thrive under that pressure, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's the beginning of the show, but sure, take a bow. 3 and Out starts right now.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and we have a great show on tap as the Broncos get set to head to Cincinnati for their first road game of the season. So let's get things started with first down. Here with Matt Boyer now, and Matt, the Broncos 2-0, but they lose DeMarcus Ware for probably around a month.
Yeah.
How much will they miss his presence both on the field and in the locker room?
Well, let's start with the locker room. I think that DeMarcus Ware's presence will not be replaced. You got to think about what happened last year with, you know, his injury, how much that hurt him emotionally, not being able to be part of that team for, I think it was 6 weeks last year. So I think they're going to miss his leadership presence a lot. The good thing is, though, is that he's not going to be away from the team. I think he's going to do a lot of rehab here. And we saw him take a huge leadership role during those OTAs and during minicamp. Just seeing how well that he gels with the guys, showing guys like Shane Ray, you know, techniques and things like that. Even though he wasn't technically playing, he was still able to make a huge contribution during practice. I do think, though, that those weeks that Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett got last year, you think about Shane Ray's performance against Oakland, had a great game. Shaq Barrett played well against the Vikings and Browns in lieu of missing DeMarcus Ware for stretches. So I think that even though Ware was on the field for some of those games and missed six games last year, I think that Barrett and Ray were able to fill in admirably, and I think that experience is going to pay dividends this year.
Yeah, there's a reason why the Broncos drafted Shane Ray in the first round a year ago. That's paying dividends right now. But DeMarcus Ware, he's just one sack away from moving into seventh place all-time in all-time sacks. So the good news, they're going to get him back. But for now, it's next man up for the Broncos.
We got guys that's ready to play at all times. You know, we expect this to happen with football being football. So we just got to come out and do our job.
Yeah, we ready. We've been preparing the whole offseason, whole camp for the opportunity to play. We have been playing, but it's going to be a bigger role now since D-Ware are going to miss a couple weeks. And we're ready. We're ready to seize the opportunity.
Time for a second down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, the Broncos moved the ball really well in between the 30s. But once they got into field goal range, the offense started to slow down. How big of a concern is this?
I think it's a pretty significant concern, to be honest with you, because that is perhaps the biggest reason why these games the last 2 weeks have been as close as they are, is the Broncos' inability to convert in the red zone. You look at turnovers being the problem in week one, of course, three giveaways inside the 30-yard line. Obviously, the red zone is a 20, but 30 is scoring range. And then the Broncos' one giveaway last week against the Colts was also inside the 30, the interception thrown to Darius Butler. But also another problem was third and one conversions. The Broncos couldn't cash in on a couple of third and ones. That's something they know they have to get better at, especially if you're going to have an identity as a team that will pound it, you know, at an opponent. Basically, you've got to get those tough yardage in third and yards, in third and short, and fourth and short, and the Broncos haven't done that.
What, the offensive line has been playing so well. What is it about those short yardage situations? They can't just get it just a little bit. I mean, especially with Janovich back there.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you've got opponents that are keyed on what you're going to do. Sometimes, and the other thing is, sometimes you get into short yardage, you'll spread the opponent out. Maybe you'll try to create some seams, and the Broncos have had some success at other areas on the field by spreading an opponent out and then calling a draw play, calling an inside run, taking advantage of the gaps that are there. But at some point, you've got to be able to get the tough yards when you've got a two tight end set and you've got an I formation, only one receiver. You've got to get that 1 or 2 yards. I'm surprised they haven't tried quarterback sneak. Maybe that'll be something in the cards this week.
I think that's when C.J. Anderson scored his touchdown just off. They spread it out a little bit, so maybe some more success there. The Broncos inside the 30, 12 times, 4 touchdowns, and 4 field goals only. And like Mace said, head coach Gary Kubiak agrees it could be the short yardage.
We need to be aggressive, you know, and try to go get all we can. And we had our opportunities yesterday. You know, you got 300 yards of ball movement in the first half yesterday, and you have a seven-point lead, you know. So that's this league. That's how tough it is. And when you don't take advantage of opportunities, people hang around. And that's why we were in the game we were in late in the game.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. Got a fresh cut here, looking good for the show. Ben, the Broncos head on the road for the first time this season, going into the jungle in Cincinnati. And, of course, the number one thing there, slowing down A.J. Green.
All right, he's a top wide receiving threat. He's been there for a while. He's big, he's fast, he's quick, he has great routes. He does it all very well. And against the Broncos, he's going to have a huge challenge against this defense, of course, facing two of the best press corners in the league with Aqib Talib, who just came off his ninth career pick six, and Chris Harris Jr., of course. He didn't have a great week last week, but the first week he showed that he still has what it takes. Just last week, a rainy day in Pittsburgh, tough sledding out there, didn't have a great game. This game, press corners, he can beat you on those, you can go deep, but the Broncos have two of the best, great safeties. It'll be hard to beat. It'll be hard for him to beat them over the top.
Yeah, just like Swanson mentioned, last week in rainy conditions, just two catches. The week before that, 12 catches for 180 yards. You know he can turn it on. But Chris Harris Jr., four targets last week to T.Y. Hilton, only two catches for 18 yards. So you know that Chris Harris Jr. can shut down a guy. He says this week the key might be confidence.
He's going to make plays, so you just can't get down on yourself. You just got to keep fighting, keep attacking them. A lot of guys, they come out there and play with fear with them. They don't challenge them. So we're going to challenge them and make them work for all his catches. It's going to be a tough matchup. Every time we play them, they've had a good run game versus. So we got to be able to shut down the run first. And if we can do that, we can be able to make a lot of plays in the passing game.
It's time for fourth down. And before we punt things over to our intern extraordinaires to answer your Twitter questions, a quick word from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes, and you can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
We're back here on Three and Out. It's time for the best segment of the show. I'm Caroline Disley.
And I'm Eric DeLalla. Let's get to your hard-hitting questions. First up, from Ben Watson, he wants to know, what are your biggest concerns after the first two games? Matt, this one's for you.
Well, for me personally, I think two games in, you got to think about staying healthy. You've seen a lot of injuries over the course of 2 weeks throughout the NFL, and with the Denver Broncos, Virgil Green has gone out. Donald Stevenson took an injury last game. Demaryius Thomas has been a little bit nicked up. And, of course, we just talked about DeMarcus Ware is going to miss a significant amount of time going forward. I think all of those pieces are going to play huge roles for the Broncos. The good news is that a lot of those guys will be back, hopefully, at some point this season. So I think that because of all of those injuries, I think the Broncos are going to need to look to their depth to kind of fill some of those holes. I think one of the things that I've been hearing, though, that most people are worried about is red zone production. I don't think that's going to be a huge issue. Coach Gary Kubiak said earlier this week that he's happy with the way the offense has progressed. He's happy with the way Trevor Siemian has progressed. So I think that even though my concern is health and some of the fans are concerned with red zone production, I think both of those things will take care of themselves over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Matt. Great answer. Caroline, why don't you take the next one?
We've got a question coming from Daylon Hilty. Are the Broncos looking at putting DeMarcus Ware on IR to return later this year to free up a roster spot? Mace, I know you've got an answer for this one.
Well, it's not really an option. First of all, DeMarcus Ware is only scheduled to miss 4 or 5 weeks. If you go on IR, you have to stay on for a period longer than that. So if they put him on IR, Ware could be healthy and they bring him back. But they could lose a couple of weeks with him that he could have otherwise played. So it's not a consideration for that reason. And another reason is this. You are only allowed to bring back one player from injured reserve. Now, unlike the last few years, you don't have to designate that guy when you put him on injured reserve. So you can decide, okay, this guy's been on IR, I can bring him back. But if you use down DeMarcus Ware, I mean, let's say hypothetically you lose a running back, you lose a starting offensive lineman for 8 weeks. and they could come back later in the season and they were healthy enough. But because you brought DeMarcus Ware back, then that would be off the table. So I think the Broncos' best play is just to deactivate DeMarcus Ware for the next few games and then bring him back and save that recallable injured reserve situation for a scenario where you might need it more.
That's why they call you the Mace. Eric, let's hit the final question.
I guess that's why they call you the Caroline. Last but not least, T. Heller wants to know, why didn't they run more bootlegs down by the goal line to give Trevor an option down in the red zone? Ben Swanson, take us away.
Well, thanks for your question. That's a good one. We saw some of those bootlegs in that week one game. And I guess Gary Kubiak just didn't feel like they wanted to go to those bootlegs this time around. They had some success and just straight up runs, and they just needed to gain a couple yards on third down in the red zone. We talked about the red zone issues over before, but some execution issues there that didn't really come down to the bootleg as successful as those might have been. They just wanted to run the ball and pound it like they thought they could against this defense. And we'll probably see those bootlegs come up again, but at this point it just seemed like the play calling thought that wasn't the best option.
Thanks, Ben. True visionary of our time.
And thank you guys for tuning in. Keep sending in all your questions. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. That's going to do it for this week's show. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, Caroline Disley, Eric Dalala, and Austin Brink behind the camera. That's been this week's 3 and Out presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.